Mahomes is stationed on the left hash, right foot in front of the left. Darwin Thompson, the running back, with him. He fakes to him and now sprints to the right. He is throwing long down the field. He wants Tyreek Hill, makes the catch and rolls into the end zone. On the right side, touchdown, Kansas City. First down, Mahomes. McCoy in the backfield. They're going to throw it deep near side. Kelce caught around, caught it, touchdown, Kansas City. And Mahomes right on the money and just drops the ball into the hands of Kelce. A 23-yard touchdown.
Gotta love the highlights. Gotta love Mitch Holthus, who joined us earlier live in Brazil with the entire broadcast team. If you forgot, he called Josh Klingler Drew Bledsoe and called me Tom Brady. I'll let that boost my ego. Focus, Dusty. I got a long way to go to get there. So game one of the season tonight in Sao Paulo, Brazil. By the way, this is how you say spit in Portuguese.
Cuspindo.
Mm-hmm. That's because last night Jalen Carter spit on Dak Prescott and will not probably be playing. I think he's going to be suspended at least one game. That next game will be in Arrowhead, where it'll be absolutely nuts.
I'd like to see if he's suspended before that game, because, you know, the way that the NFL works, mm-hmm. you know, it could take forever
right.
before they suspend him. And Tom Pelissero, you know, ball washer for the league, is out here saying, well, he didn't play a game last night, so that's technically a – no, it's not. It is absolutely 100% not a missed game. The NFL has never done that before, mm-hmm. where you miss a game with injury or something like that and it counts towards a suspension. That game was underway. He was in uniform. He got thrown out of that game. That does not count, even though he did not play a single play last night. That does not count as a one-game suspension. And if Pelissero's peddling that, and that's what they ended up doing, I'm going to be really pissed at the NFL.
Did he spit?
Cuspindo.
And then this is how you say touchdown in Portuguese. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Touchdown.
There you go.
Oh, that's a good
touchdown.
One.
Touchdown.
Yeah.
Touchdown.
Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce.
Touchdown.
How many times will that happen?
Touchdown.
Because even in our in-office bet, I got Travis Kelce with the anytime touchdown.
Touchdown.
Right? Yep. And you said to me, like, that's a really nice troll job, you know? And I'm like, I yes, but he's plus 170 to score an anytime touchdown tonight.
I
feel like that's the biggest lock of the year.
Okay.
Right now.
I like those odds a lot.
Well,
plus 170 for senior year, American Pie, knowing what they want to do, 25 pounds lighter, Travis Kelce. You don't think he's going to snake into the end zone at some point tonight? I do.
Plus 2,200 for two. Let's get into it.
Really?
I think so, yeah. Ooh. Xavier Worthy was plus 1,200 as the leader in the clubhouse for two touchdowns. No, it was plus 850 for Xavier Worthy yesterday for two touchdowns. Bob, start us off hot with the script.
All right, Chiefs will get the ball first, and the aerial attack is back, baby. It is back and better than ever, as they like to say. One play, Worthy over the top, 75 yards, 7-0 Chiefs. Everybody calm, everybody collected. Because now the defense comes out onto the field. Mr. I'm only a starter because somebody put the shot in the guy's ribs the wrong way. Herbert comes out on the field, and that's where the Chiefs defense takes over. First play, Chris Jones tips it up in the air, intercepted Nick Bolton. Three plays later, there it is. There's your plus 170, baby. Travis Kelce back in the end zone, 14-0, Kansas City. The route is on. The game will continue to go the way of the Chiefs. We will get to the fourth quarter. We will see Gardner Minshew playing tonight because the Chiefs will be up by a lot. It will be a blowout. It will be a precursor of things to come. Jones finishes the game with a sack. Mahomes has two touchdown passes. Isaiah Pacheco runs for one more, and the Chiefs cruise to a 35-0 victory. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, NFL.
Hell yeah. Come on, baby.
Woo!
I know that I'm hard.
Sounds like there'll be a lot of
touchdown
for the Chiefs in that stretch.
Yes. Damn right there will be.
No need to
cuspindo
on that.
No.
Because that's a lot of
touchdown
in Portuguese. Mac, you're next on the script. What goes on, baby?
Did he spit?
Let's start here. The Chiefs receive. They will look great on the opening drive. They'll mess up a little in the red zone, slow down. They'll have to settle for a field goal on that opening drive.
Boo, hiss.
Chargers do the same, except it's the first two drives. They look great. 10-7 Chargers to start the second quarter. Xavier Worthy breaks open the top, baby. That 4-2 speed shows. He gets a long ball to start the second quarter.
And
the
he's
offense
in the southern hemisphere, so he's faster.
And he's even faster. Yeah, they haven't accounted for that. Jim Harbaugh, he's not ready for that.
It's today.
So he breaks the top. He scores in that first drive of the second quarter. Chiefs now lead 14-10. Spags defense, they start taking over. They force a turnover early in the second half. The offense capitalizes. The Chiefs end up coasting to a win. They control the whole second half of the game, 27-17. Chiefs get a dub.
Gotta love that. All right.
10-point win in the NFL is a large margin
of
victory.
Yeah.
Chiefs win the toss. Tails never fails. Chiefs kick to the Chargers. Chargers go 3-and-out. That defense is ramped up. Like we said, this is a revenge tour. Mm-hmm. That defense is ramped up. That defensive line is champing at the bit. Jones, Omenihue, Karloftis. We get week one, Charles Omenihue. We haven't seen that in the Chiefs' dynasty run. Chiefs will then get the ball. Mahomes looks like 2019 Patrick Mahomes because, as I've said before, he wins the MVP this year. He throws for 4,500. He throws for 41 touchdowns. Travis gets the big first down catch on that drive to continue the drive. Then, like you guys have both mentioned, it's over the top to X, the mouse, the man that wears number one. His nickname's the mouse. Andy Reid said it. Don't disagree with me. Xavier Worthy over the top because I believe last year when we saw that play to Xavier Worthy over the top from Mahomes, the one time that we did see it, it was against who? The Chargers.
Yep.
Then again, Chiefs lead at halftime 17-7. They come back in the second half. They get a field goal to make it 20-7. Chargers then get Omarion Hampton going. He does score a touchdown. I think he is a problem on that drive. The Chiefs then 20-14 lead going into the fourth quarter. Chiefs get a drive going because of Isaiah Pacheco. We see him play that role that we know him all too well in. Taylor Swift reference there. He gets going inside the red zone area because he runs downhill. We forget Josh Simmons is there as a left tackle, and Isaiah Pacheco, like Mahomes, takes full advantage of that, and he gets a heavy workload early part of the fourth quarter where you bring in your closers to stop the game. The Chiefs will go up 27-21. I believe on that next defensive drive, somewhere around the 8-minute mark, George Karloftis will have a huge sack.
He's going to be big tonight.
George Karloftis will have a huge sack on a 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, making it 4th and 12, 4th and 11, something like that. The Chargers will then turn the ball over on the downs. The Chiefs will then go into victory formation and win 27-21. Xavier Worthy, 7 for 97 and a touchdown. Travis Kelce, 6 for 59. Isaiah Pacheco has 65 yards rushing and a touchdown. And, you know, that guy, Juju Smith-Schuster, don't forget about him. He has 4 catches for 42 yards. Mahomes goes 26 for 31, 295, and 2 touchdowns on the day. Chiefs win 27-21. That's my script, and I'm sticking to it.
I like the don't you forget about me with Isaiah Pacheco there as we were watching The Breakfast Club at the beginning of the morning today. You and I watching the last scene of The Breakfast Club because somebody had said, what is the greatest ending to a movie? And they showed The Breakfast Club. And I guarantee you, he has not seen The Breakfast Club, right?
Me? Oh, I love The Breakfast
Club. Oh, you do?
Yes. Wow. Love The Breakfast Club.
All right. We were totally wrong about that.
Yeah. And then I've seen some movies.
Then the final scene, dude's walking off on his bad-looking football field. We're like, that's where the Chiefs are going to play.
Exactly right.
But don't you forget about me, says Isaiah Pacheco. Huh? Let's go.
Yeah, I think you look at Juju Smith-Schuster. I think you can look at Tyquan Thornton in this game. I think you can look at Travis Kelce being clutch. I think that's where you're going to see Travis Kelce really be an annoying nuisance to the other team. It's not with the, you know, 25-yard misplay. That'll happen occasionally, but it's going to be that play that's going to be, damn it, he's always there. It's going to be that 3rd and 4, that 3rd and 6, and it's 15-87, first down. All right, let's get back together. Let's keep going. Keep the drive alive because you know what Jim Harbaugh is going to do? He's going to run the ball 35 times if he can.
Well, he did come from the same mother as John Harbaugh, but John Harbaugh forgot to run the ball against the Chiefs, so maybe Jim will forget to run the ball against the Chiefs.
Right, and I think that if you can keep the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hand, it's obvious, but what Jim Harbaugh is going to try to do with his running and ground attack with Najee Harris, Omarion Hampton, and Justin Herbert trying to be a game manager in this game is to keep 15 on the sidelines, keep him away from the field. Well, if you can get the ball 3 and out from them on their first drive, go up 7-0, that's going to have to shift a little bit advantage Chiefs. And if you can give the Chiefs just a slight crack at the open door, they will kick that sucker down like a SWAT team coming into your house.
I'm ready to see Travis Kelce with one of his patented catch the ball and just slither down the field like he does, you know, and it seemingly always happens against the Chargers. And you know that move I'm talking about, not the, you know, fake left, go right type of move or fake right,
just
go left.
Get skinny.
He gets gets that, and he gets starts slithering like a snake down the field.
I would love that.
That's what I want to see tonight, right into the end zone for a touchdown. Plus 170. Let's go.
Touchdown. A lot of good text here. I'm going Bob Moeb. Chiefs win 42-0.
Like that one. That's good.
People pointing out my lack of math skills. How is it 10-7 if the Chiefs kicked a field goal the first drive? Hey, that's fair enough. The Chiefs win. That's what matters, text line.
Touchdown.
Exactly. Touchdown.
Chiefs kick a field goal. They go up 7-0.
That's exactly right.
Thank you, Mac. Was that Leawood Elementary?
That's exactly right.
Cuspindo.
Go Panthers? Is that what we were? I can't remember.
Just stick with the script.
With the Eagles, middle school with the Panthers. I hope at some point we get a sack because I want two Big Macs tomorrow, and I'm not talking about Mac on this show. LOL.
Mac's awesome.
Is that a cougar?
I don't know.
Can you text in your age and name, please? Mac will call you.
Coming up on the other side, we dive into the college slate here on 96.5 The Fan. And don't you ever forget, college football coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light and Tanners are teaming up to make every college game day legendary every Saturday. Rep your college team. Catch every play and enjoy $15 buckets only at Kansas area Tanner locations. Bud Light and Tanners, from the stands to the bar, your game day headquarters. It's time. KU Mizzou, CDOT, coming to join here as he takes the border of Missouri and Bob takes the border of Kansas. And Mac and I get to sit back with a cigar and have a fun time here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Kegs and eggs and football. Let's go.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trey Smith, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
It is that time of the year, well, for the first time in a while, we finally have KU versus Mizzou and the showdown, the border war. I'm going to go to my guy. I'm going to go to Carrington Harrison. Been catching a lot of strays this week, Carrington. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to talk to you about this game on Saturday at 2:30, which is a nice bonus to what Friday night is. I mean, I can't imagine having a worse weekend than anybody that's not a football fan here, because Missouri and Kansas play in your neck of the woods in Columbia. How juiced up are you for it? Or is it, Dusty, calm down, let me get through Friday, then I'll tell you on Saturday?
No, before we move forward, you say I've caught a lot of strays this week. It started with your show spreading lies.
What
Once
lies?
You said it was my sister. It's been all downhill since then.
Okay.
I haven't fight me allegations ever since.
So I didn't.
Who was it?
This week when it's MU and KU, now you think I would have kissed my sister?
No.
You guys started this.
So, see, here's where you – so now I am on the side of everybody else, because this is where you like to do this with people. I was like, I don't think that he was denied. I think it's one of those accidents that you see on the Jumbotron, because I was there Saturday night sitting in the Diamond Club, they put on the TV, a guy goes, nah, that's my mom. And the way that you were denied, I thought, like, dude, this is family, because I know you like to go to games with your sister. That's your young blood. That's the one you look after the most. And I thought maybe that was one of those, like, hey, because I didn't think you were denied. I just thought you were having a conversation, happened to be on the screen.
Okay. I see, Dusty. It's okay. At this point, I don't know this week. I don't know who's friend or foe this week. I've taken so many arrows.
Well,
all I have is the feeling that the Tigers are going to beat the feathers off the Jayhawks.
Okay.
That'll keep me warm at night.
All right, I'll tell you this. The only friend you have in the Fesco household is my wife. So you better be careful, and you pick against the Jayhawks, she ain't going to be your friend anymore either. I think Eli Drinkwitz is washed like you think Kelsey is washed. Your thoughts?
What? They won double-digit games the last 2 years. How can you think that?
Yeah, they're Vanderbilt, basically, a little northerner.
I can't believe Mac signed me up for this morning. Mac has asked me to move my entire schedule around. You know I'm a developing TV star. I have so many things to do to be accosted with these lies. You know I love Jen Fesco. She knows that. But she knows I wasn't coming on here to pick the Jayhawks this week. This was set up. This is a trap.
No, it's not a trap. It's what we need. And this conversation is exactly why for the last 13 years it has sucked not having this. Like, yeah, they had it in basketball. I don't think anybody even knew that was taking place, right? Now you got it in football, the sport that matters the most in college. Kansas, obviously, is better than they have been. Missouri's got this thing going on right now in the SEC. Like, this needs to be a yearly thing. I can't believe we're going to have to go a decade, basically, after next season to not see this thing played again.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they reach some kind of agreement just because the college landscape is changing so much. I also think it's really interesting, you know, Mark Donovan a couple of weeks ago after that Nebraska game said that they're interested in having an early season Arrowhead kickoff kind of game.
Yep.
I'd be for if they played this game and they included Kansas City in the mix. Like, I think it's impossible to tell the story of the border war without telling it from the Kansas City perspective, just because both fan bases live so close to each other. So if they did kind of what they do in basketball, where it's a Lawrence, Columbia, Kansas City, and they rotate on that basis, mm-hmm. I think that's very fitting for this rivalry.
Yeah, I'd love it. I'd actually love that, man. I think that would be the absolute best thing that we could have for this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing if they had done that this year, it would have sold out Arrowhead. Wow. Just the anticipation
in 5 minutes.
Both teams. Missouri should have been probably ranked preseason 25, but right there on the fringe. Kansas has looked really impressive in their first two games. I got a chance to go to the game against Fresno State. Jalen Daniels looks like he's kind of bounced back to old form. I think it's actually going to be a pretty fun and competitive game.
Yeah, we're talking to Carrington Harrison as he's getting powdered up in the back green room of the Fox 4 studio. I know where you're at. We appreciate your time here. I'm trying to get invited back to the barbecue with the family. I'm going to take a little bit of your show and put it on ours. Mizzou wins if KU wins if. Mizzou loses if KU loses if.
I think Missouri wins if they protect Bo Prabula. I would say the negative from last week's game for Missouri is I just don't think they block well at all. I think the offensive line was actually one of the worst parts of their team and worst parts of their win. So I'm going to go Missouri wins if they protect Bo Prabula. I think from a talent perspective, I think Missouri is clearly the more talented of the two teams. I would say Kansas wins if. I think that Missouri has the advantage Monday through Friday. I think Kansas has the advantage on Saturday from a coaching perspective. Like, I think Lance Leipold is a better game day coach than Eli Drinkwitz. So I think you need to feel like Kansas just kind of does something that they look better prepared and can handle the emotion of the game a little bit better than Missouri.
How does a Missouri fan react on Saturday if they lose this game?
I'm not even trying to be funny, Fesco. There's been no part of me that has thought about Missouri losing this game on Saturday to Kansas.
Yeah,
not a single part of me.
And that's the way you should be feeling, Carrington. I mean, obviously Missouri is looked at and perceived to be the better team right now. They're the favorite in this game. And so you've got that going for you, which is nice. But if they lose this game, I'm wondering if it's going to be like KU basketball fans last year losing to Missouri going, oh my God, we lost to Missouri. And that was kind of like a precursor of what was to come. Which was probably the least likable KU basketball team anybody's ever been a part of. And so I'm wondering if it's the same for Missouri. Like, if they lose this game, does it kind of set them into not a downward spiral, but a season that you go from having pretty good expectations to thinking like the Weed Eater Bowl is going to be something special this year?
I've never at any point even entertained the possibility that they are losing to Kansas this weekend in football. Festo, I actually have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Which team would you rather beat? Would you rather beat Missouri or K-State?
Oh, Missouri, it's no question.
Okay, I was wondering because K-State's at home. So, you know, if they beat him at home, that's a storm in the field. You know, we're tearing the goalpost down. We're throwing it in the lake moment.
Pottersley. I don't know if K-State necessarily is that anymore. Like I think for Kansas fans right now, you have to expect to be good, right? Lance Leipold has done a really nice job since he's got there. So you don't have to tear down the goalposts based on every team that you beat. But, I mean, if this Missouri game was at home and Kansas won, yeah, you tear down the goalposts. It's a rivalry game, Carrington. Like, K-State's always been there. K-State's never got my blood boiling like Missouri does, ever, ever, ever in my entire life. Like, I hate Missouri, right? I don't hate Kansas State. They're just kind of an afterthought. But I want to kick Missouri's ass.
No, I completely understand that, but I mean, when one side has beat the other side for 16 consecutive years, the way the K-State has beat KU,
yeah.
If you beat them at home in your new stadium, everybody acknowledges that you can run on the field.
Well, you can do whatever the hell you want. This isn't the SEC. We're actually allowed to celebrate.
Okay.
Well, that's a good point. I wish I had a good comeback for that one. I don't, Fesco.
I do. My team, I do, Carrington. My team took their goalposts and threw them into the river in Knoxville. We celebrate, baby.
Yeah, no, for sure. But now they fine you $500 million.
Yeah.
I just say, like, this is what always kind of makes me laugh is, like, we love and celebrate college football for what it is. And then it's like, whenever a team does a chant, oh, you know, this team lives rent-free. Like, hold on, do you want it to be college football or not?
Right.
The fact that they do random chants to tell you how much they hate this other team on a Tuesday basketball game is why we like college sports.
It is. It's what's different than professional sports. It is the rivalries. It is the passion and all that kind of stuff that goes, you know, along with it. And so that's why I love this game, because I don't feel this way about any other game that Kansas plays. And it's Missouri now, and I'm like, I want to win this thing at all costs. That's why it needs to continue, because both sides of the state line have that same passion of hatred for each other.
You know what? I'm just so happy that, because I remember a time, and Dusty, you remember this time too. I remember when KU fans tried to argue that there was no value in playing Missouri, and I was like, "What are you guys talking about?" Like it was a decade's worth of time that KU fans just couldn't find the value of playing a team out of conference. It was like, then you remember when basketball, they were like, "Well, we play Duke and North Carolina. Right. Yes, some of the games you don't play them every single game. What are we doing here?" So I am happy that all sides can acknowledge that our lives are better now that these two teams play each other. Sure, it's never going to be how it was in 1991. They're not in the same conference anymore. But I was saying this on my show, Bob, and I think you'll agree with this. Like, we have to allow the next generation to have their own memories with this rivalry. We have to let them have their Christian Moody. They have to have their Thomas Gardner. They have to have their Ryan Robertson. Like, and that can only happen through them playing each other.
Sure, absolutely.
Karen, do you want to bring this up? Because I remember your old co-host that was in this building would always say, more hate in sports, more love in the world. When it comes to this game, obviously it's going to be a fantastic game on Saturday, but I want to switch over because you have a take about Ryan Clark's generational comment yesterday that went viral, obviously. You agree or disagree with what Ryan Clark had to say?
Well, I mean, I agree, I guess, on the premise of we use this term generational talent like every 2 years when it comes to a player. Like, wait, that's not what generational talent means. Like, you can't have a generational talent every 18 months. I think when it just comes to Arch, I can't speak to his high school, and I think Ryan Clark can obviously speak to that a lot better because he's there. But the point that I made this week on the show is, I mean, some of it we should have seen some of this coming. He is 20 years old. He has thrown 90 passes in his college career. 60 of them were against Louisiana Monroe and Mississippi State. He had never thrown a pass on the road. Now he's going on the road to Ohio State. Like, all of us kind of got a little bit ahead of ourselves, you know? We were debating if he was the number one overall pick and if the Cowboys traded Micah Parsons to go get Arch Manning and could he win the Heisman Trophy. And Paul Feinbaum called him the best college prospect since Tim Tebow.
Well, so nutcases were doing that, not logical people, because this was the same guy who didn't play last year and was behind a seventh-round pick.
Nothing about sports conversations right now are logical.
Well, that is, yeah. I mean, you're watching too much ESPN, that's why.
I think it's everybody. I just think that's where we are right now, where, you know, he who screams loudest wins, at least a lot of times when it comes to this thing.
No doubt about it. Speaking of a loudest scream, you've got a pretty sweet documentary coming out, Carrington. I'm proud of you for doing this, because this was my childhood. We're the same age. We know exactly where we were in 2007 when Todd Reesing was picking the grass out of his helmet. Rumor has it that photo is in the back of Pinkel's office of Todd Reesing ripping that grass out. How fun was Armageddon at Arrowhead, and how excited are you for September 24th?
Yeah, no, really excited. So just with the rivalry coming back, I had the idea where we got two players from each of the teams back in 2007 to rewatch the game for the first time. And just getting them to see it, like watching it through their eyes and hearing them kind of talk about plays and seeing like old memories kind of come up and getting their stories was a lot of fun. And then talking to media people who were there, fans who were there. So I think people will enjoy it.
No doubt. Is this the hardest day ever for you to decide what's the lead for a Friday show? Or do you just say, Dusty, shut up, you know it's the Chiefs?
No, I mean, I think it's the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are the biggest stories. I mean, we'll talk MU and KU today, but, you know, the three-time defending AFC champions start their season today in a very important divisional game. That's the most important story in Kansas City.
No doubt about it. Carrington, we appreciate the time. Tell Carly Ritter I said what's up, and we'll talk to you later.
I will absolutely do that.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir. Carrington Harrison. I'm excited for that documentary because, I mean, I know you know where you were at. We're 10 years apart.
Yeah, Vip and I were drunk in St. Louis in a bar.
Both KU dogs right there.
I have no idea if we even watched the game.
Like New Orleans all
over
again.
Very much so. See, that video that I tweeted out of you and Mac, I said to Dusty. Dusty goes, I don't know. That was a fun video. I said, that was post-Vip.
Yeah, dude. That's when Mac was a smart one. Mac was a smart one because we had just transferred into the French Quarter and got our new hotel. spot. And then I was like, well, hey, I'm going to go meet Bob. You're like, dude, have fun. I'll be back. I'll be out there in about an hour and a half. 4 hours later, Mac woke up.
Yeah, Mac never showed up. He's good at that. Yeah.
Now, he's smart because you and I were, we looked like Casey Wolf at that point. We were leaving. Yeah, we're like, hey, we got to, Bob's like, I need to pick up shit. And then Vip's like, well, we're not married. I was like, you're right. We're not. Let's just go ahead and stay here. And then the bartender started hitting on me. And then I found out she was married and that ended quick.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, well.
And then Mac, I mean, what a night for you.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Joey Chestnut.
Yep.
Yeah, running into tons. Ran into Kling.
Mayor L was there.
Mac's awesome.
And Kling.
Kling.
What was it? Sneaky Pete's?
Sneaky Pete's.
Sneaky Pete's. Still have the koozie in the rotation that I'll use.
I like Sneaky Pete's. Maybe I'll
use Pete's. It tonight. Nah, I can't use anything Super Bowl related tonight.
I like the advice Kling gave you at Sneaky Pete's, too.
Yes, I do, yes. too. Yes.
Just
yes.
trust Bob, he said. Yeah.
Yeah, Joey Chestnut. You want to take a picture with me?
No.
We're trying to get you to call, talk to our friend Jay Binkley. I don't want to. Okay, well, I don't think anybody wants to talk to you, man. Yeah. See you later.
Gross. That guy was, ugh.
I'm excited for Saturday, man. I mean, it's so crazy that locally, like, this is one of those things, like, where you wake up and you're excited. Like, I know there's a lot of days you wake up and you're like, I'm really excited to get to this, this show. And when you get there and you're like, oh, Chiefs are on Friday, you've got, the biggest game of the college season for both Mizzou and Kansas. And I know that there are going to be some people from Mizzou, because I have friends who are like, eh, it's Kansas. It's just another game. It's
not a big deal.
And then you'll have, exactly.
you are a liar.
And then you'll have people from Kansas like, yeah, it's Missouri. I hate them. But I mean, we got our eyes are on the Big 12. We got a good offense this year. I trust Lance.
Now.
Check out our new stadium. And it's like, guys, hey. And I just want to like take their heads and bang them together and be like, no. This is black and gold versus red and blue or crimson and whatever they call it over there in Kansas. And it's these two teams, these two historic teams in a rivalry. And I thought Carrington said it best. It's now time to let the next generation enjoy this.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Yeah, it is. They need to know about it because this generation that's in college right now did not grow up with the Kansas-Missouri rivalry. And so we've got to find a way to get that back because a lot of these kids now, they have no idea what the rivalry was like. Just talk to people in their 20s. Honest to God, they're like, yeah, I don't really remember Kansas-Missouri all that much. I was 7 when the thing ended. I'm like, damn, man, that was a long time ago. And now these kids are in college and have no recollection of this rivalry. So it does need to be back from a historical perspective, but also because people like it. And if Missouri fans are saying, it's just Kansas, they're scared. That's what it is. That's a scared Missouri fan right now that their team may lose to Kansas. And so they're trying to downplay that. Kansas, if you're trying to downplay that, there shouldn't be. We're the underdog in this thing. There should be no downplaying at all from the Kansas side of the state line. But I understand Missouri because if they do lose and they can just say, well, it's a non-conference game and we got bigger things. You know how people are when, their team loses as a game,
sure.
But I do love Carrington's idea of going Lawrence, Columbia, and Kansas City for that game. It probably and maybe will be the first game that opens the new Arrowhead at the Legends, too. You never know.
That is a great idea to have that game at Arrowhead, though.
Absolutely, it is.
I do. I'm like you. I do like the ping pong back and forth. Lawrence, Columbia. We could really settle that real easy and be like, we're just going to go right here.
Well, if the Chiefs write a big enough check, they'll do it every year,
No doubt about it. And that's going to sell out. That'd be one of those, sell out quickly games. Like, that Nebraska-Cincinnati game sold out.
Yeah.
Nebraska-Cincinnati. I know Nebraska is right
but
there
Kansas
north.
Has to hold up their end of the bargain, too, though, Dusty. I mean, they can't go back to 2-10s and 1-11s and that kind of stuff. Because if they do, that game ain't selling out at Arrowhead,
well, that's
right?
Why you have the legacy of Lance. And Drinkwitz is a perfect guy for this rivalry.
I agree with that.
And Leipold is a perfect guy for this rivalry because Lance is a guy that's like, he'll take a shot if it's warranted, right? He's like a wasp. He's going to build his nest. He's going to look, kind of like this, but he's going to sting it if provoked. Whereas Drinkwitz is just that annoying hornet that's just going to keep going around.
Drinkwitz was the annoying kid in school. There's no question.
And he's got that button pushing ability.
Yep.
Is what Drinkwitz has.
And he should be pushing every button for Kansas this week. Like, everything that he says should be a shot at Kansas. I absolutely believe that.
Mac, you're a Tennessee guy. What does this game do for you?
This is great. I'm excited.
Well, I mean, your biggest rival is Alabama.
Florida.
Debatable. Florida. Yeah, debatable. Kentucky in basketball, but for sure, yeah, Bama or Florida. I would say, I'm a Tennessee guy, but I'm born and raised in Kansas City, so it's really cool to see the two local schools that I grew up. All my friends are either a KU fan and an MU fan. Yes, I've got some K-State fans and friends and family, but I'm just excited because everyone in my circle is now pumped because I'm usually the college football guy because of the SEC and it just means more because it does. Mm-hmm. But dude, this is dope. This is awesome. I'm pumped. It feels like an SEC type rivalry It does. That's how deep this goes. It's going to be fun.
But again, like from my seat, like for too long, Kansas has not held up their end of the bargain. Now, Missouri didn't for a while either, but Kansas wasn't holding up their end of the bargain. It was two bad football teams. But even still, when it was two bad football teams, it was still that rivalry. You still wanted to beat their ass.
This gives me a lot of like Royals Cardinals vibes.
No, because, I disagree with that.
So if I can explain. Yeah. The Royals have had, what, five pretty dominant years of their franchise?
Probably, yeah.
The Jayhawks have had 4 years of good football. Missouri's always kind of been known as a football school over a basketball school. They're the team, right? They're the ones that do it. And it's like, well, this isn't really a rivalry unless one team holds up their end of the bargain. The Royals didn't hold up their end of the bargain for many, many years, and it was just a rivalry that we held on to 1985. And then it was 2006, 2007, and the Cardinals are still winning World Series, and the Royals are still losing 100 games. Now, all of a sudden, if you play that game, you know, and the Cardinals can get back to their ways, this was a down year, then that game gives relevance, and you're giving a new generation a reason why to hate the team across the state.
Yeah, but I think with that, though, it has to be embraced by both sides. And I don't think the Cardinal fans will ever embrace the Royals rivalry because they've got that rivalry with the Cubs. Like, that's their big rivalry. Just like, I think the Royals are to the Cardinals what K-State is to KU, right? Okay, it's there. It's not that thing. But the Cubs and Cardinals are Missouri and Kansas. That's the big rivalry thing, in my opinion. So, like, you have to have that buy-in from both sides. And I think both sides, both Missouri and Kansas, are bought in to this thing being a rivalry. Like I said, when I hear Missouri fans downplay it, that's a sign of fear. That's a sign of being scared.
Football is back at ESPN Bet Sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino at Kansas Speedway. Join us Friday, September 5th as Kansas City takes on Los Angeles in Brazil and register to win your share of $5,000 in pin bonus play during the game. Coming up on the other side, speaking of bonuses and parlays and betting, we will give you our show parlay and throughout the entire season. We will keep track of how well we do. So you can tail us or you can fade us, however you want to do it. But we give you our three legs. One guy has a leg each here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Got to figure out how to make money on this. I really want to.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trent McDuffie, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back in on a Friday here, Red Friday. Let's go, baby. I am getting juiced, baby. Everybody's starting to get here. My parlay's turned in. Woo. I'm ready to go. The ticket's been punched. It's a five-leg parlay.
You know how I know people are here? I can smell them.
Mm-hmm. Drew's here. Boy, is Drew him. He showed up. He's got the hoodie, jersey over the hoodie. The jersey is a black home Cincinnati nine Burrow jersey. Jeez. The hair's gel, and he is bathed in that cologne from Target.
I mean, but even my daughter said to me the other day, we're in Hy-Vee the other day, and we're talking about cologne. She goes, yeah, I don't understand why these boys in high school put on a gallon of cologne every day. I go, I know why they do. They don't shower.
Oh.
Yeah, you get done with PE class, you're sweaty, just Axe spray.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the Axe body spray. Yeah.
Absolutely.
See, we didn't even have that back then. We just went to class sweaty.
My day, we just sweat.
Yeah, but you didn't have that. That Axe body spray is like, you know, you've seen the Family Guy skit, you know, where cats are dying. That's what that Axe body spray is. I mean, that stuff is vile, right? And every high school kid and middle school kid back in those days, they're all wearing this stuff. And you might be like, what do these guys stink? It's not even a good scent.
Well, we're going to try to make a lot of sense when we come to the currency part of this because we do have a new bit that we're going to do every Friday at 8:45. It is our Fesco and Dusty and Mac parlay. This is via FanDuel. So if you want to tail along with us, this is our parlay. It will be a three-leg parlay every single week. So text line, you can let us know, 913-586-7965, live YouTube chat. I'm in there with you all, so let's go. Feel free to chime into that as I roll along with you on the YouTube page. Friday, Chiefs Parlay, the Fesco Dusty Mac edition.
And these odds are of right now. Yeah. So if you go later and it changes, don't complain to us.
Right. So Bob is first with his leg of the parlay, and that is
a Travis Kelce anytime touchdown at plus 155 on the FanDuel app, right?
On FanDuel, Travis Kelce touchdown plus 155 inserted into the ticket as the first leg of the parlay. Mac, you have your leg of the parlay, and that is
Yeah, man, I've been on Isaiah Pacheco ever since we saw The Kingdom, and they were talking about not only his addition to the locker room, his leadership, the kind of spark that he provides, but then seeing him physically in the preseason at training camp, at OTAs, he's got a burst back. He looks better. He looks like he's, and he's talked about working on the right things. I got Pacheco over 40 yards rushing, minus 188.
I want to get to Pacheco after we finish the parlay real fast.
Would love that. The other thing about Isaiah Pacheco is that, you know, he's got Josh Simmons, right? He's got that left tackle, and if he can make some separation, give him some room. And
they announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it.
So Bob his first leg. It is Travis Kelce, anytime touchdown, plus 155. Mac takes Isaiah Pacheco over 40 yards rushing at minus 188. My leg of the parlay is Juju Smith-Schuster over 19.5 yards receiving. This is one that Alex and I really loved. I think Juju Smith-Schuster plays a viable role when it comes to the absence of Rashee Rice. You need that veteran. There's going to be multiple times where that Charger defense is going to keep you to like 3rd and 7, 3rd and 6. Or maybe there's just that we'll let Juju be him and we'll take care of Hollywood Brown. We'll take care of Xavier Worthy. We'll take care of Travis Kelce. And if Juju beats us at the end of the day, if we lose to the Chiefs and it's because Juju Smith-Schuster had a game, Chargers will take that. I'll take that as well to add on to the parlay because Juju Smith-Schuster over 19.5 is minus 114.
What is this nonsense about third down? We're not going to have a third down tonight.
Come on,
Dusty.
Sorry, the Super Bowl kind of humbled me a little bit.
No, I get you, man. So,
for that minute, I'm back.
Travis Kelce, anytime touchdown. Isaiah Pacheco, over 40 yards rushing. Juju Smith-Schuster, 19.5 yards receiving. You put all that together, it is plus 537. Fellas,
not bad.
Ticket is punched.
Plus 537.
You can trail or fade, however you want to do it. That is our parlay. Once again, Kelce, touchdown anytime. Pacheco, over 40 yards rushing. Juju Smith-Schuster, over 19.5 yards receiving. Plus 537 via FanDuel. That is the Fesco Dusty Mac parlay that is punched.
You're big on Pacheco this year, right, Mac? Mm-hmm. I'm big on Travis Kelce this year. Both of them have the exact same number of over-under yards. Travis Kelce, 700.5, over-under. Isaiah Pacheco, rushing, 700.5, over-under. Touchdowns, Travis Kelce, 4.5. Pacheco, 4.5.
On the season, 4.5 for Pacheco?
Yeah.
Put that 4 leg together and see what that is.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah, it's true.
Are you taking the over on all four of those? Because I would. That's just me again. I'm wearing captain's hat this morning.
The only one that gets me nervous is the Travis Kelce receiving yards. Because if he does start off hot for the first 6 weeks, we can't be biased here. Because what we said that is if Travis Kelce or if Rashee Rice was not suspended, they were going to basically fester Travis Kelce off until the end of the season until we could ramp up Travis. That was not the conversation. Am I right?
Yeah, so load manage a little bit.
If that's the case, that's going to happen week 7 through on, right?
But what if he's got 500 yards receiving in the first 6 weeks?
That's massive.
Yeah, if he's got even 400, he's over halfway. Yeah, that's the thing. It's really those
70
first 6 weeks.
Yards a game, right? Let's figure 70 yards a game. Yeah. 60. Let's go 60 just for low.
360 yards.
So 6 times 6 is 36. Yep. That's 360 yards. He's more than halfway there through a third of the season.
What does the text line say about the parlay?
913, tailing, let's go.
Okay.
816 has got his own little two-legger, pop over 60 and a score, which I also like.
Over 60?
Over 60 rushing yards and a score. I think Pacheco's scoring tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kelce might be scoring tonight, too.
No, there's no thinking.
I think both those things are going to happen.
Didn't the Eras Tour start in Brazil or something like that? I mean, even if it didn't, let's just say it did. Taylor's tour started in Brazil. Our tour to the Super Bowl begins in Brazil.
Let's go.
What would you trust more tonight? Patrick Mahomes throws for more than 235 or Travis Kelce has more than 55 receiving yards?
Oh, I would say Mahomes.
Yeah. Because without Rashee Rice, the Chargers are going to key on Kelce still. There's not another receiver that they're really like. I mean, Xavier, right? That's part of the plan.
Hollywood Brown, man. We're not mentioning his name. But it's going to be interesting.
I agree. I think he could be great. But as far as the Chargers are concerned, I don't think they have him high on their list of priorities for their defense.
Gotcha.
Yeah, which is exactly good. Great.
Yeah, because that's sleep usually the person who has a big game because you've got a quarterback that doesn't care who the X, Y, Z wide receivers are, who the number one option is. He's looking for the guy that's open. And if you're going to go one-on-one coverage with Hollywood Brown because you're double and everybody else, fine, let's go. Hollywood Brown has basically not played in a year and a half either, you know? So he's got some rest on that.
Yep. 6-2-0, watch out for Thornton tonight. Think he may be a burner for these guys. We'll have favorable matchups when on the field. Mahomes targeted him a bunch in the preseason with Rice. Yep, we all love Tyquan Thornton here. 913, we got to help at our 913, okay? Just, we got to help out his mental state here today.
Okay.
Man, I'm not going to lie, guys. That Super Bowl has me spooked still. I don't want to go through a loss like that ever again. I'm a little nervous for tonight.
Don't be.
I'm gonna tell you that's fair.
Yep,
I think the Super Bowl should definitely have humbled you. I think the other thing that can give you the glass, because that's a glass half empty look, right? And that's fair to be okay with that. You can be a little shell-shocked still have a little PTSD from that Super Bowl because it was an ass-kicking, drug up and down the field, literally a crap show. And now you come back to the new season, and that's the last thing you have left in the taste bud of your season of football is that Super Bowl loss, the green confetti coming down, Nick Sirianni calling dagger, and Jalen Hurts doing it and completing it. Now you come back, and to fill that glass full of hope, you have these players. You have what Kurt Warner had said earlier yesterday on Twitter when he said he talked to the Chiefs. And I can bring up that Kurt Warner tweet again because I think that's where you have to believe in this team. Yes, they lost.
Yep.
Yes, they've been blown out in the Super Bowl. You have to remember, that's happened before. They lost to Tampa Bay.
And this isn't the 90s Chiefs. And I feel like that guy right there is channeling his inner 90s Chiefsdom. And that needs to be out of your mouth because this is not Marty Schottenheimer. This is not an offense that scores 13 points a game. This is not a team that doesn't know how to play under pressure. Right. They had a bad game in the Super Bowl, right? It happens. I know we're not kind of used to that with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but they had a bad game in the Super Bowl. I don't want you to think that way. That you're having flashbacks as like Mitch was talking about Sean LaChapelle in the interview an hour ago, right? Like you're having those type of this is not the same team. I want you to be positive going into this game because this is Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, despite what Dan Orlovsky says, the best quarterback coach combination in the NFL.
And maybe of all time.
Possibly.
Yeah, it's trending that way.
And this is former quarterback Kurt Warner. He said, as before we go to break, for you that looking at a little bit of needing some hope, some light, Kurt Warner said this: I've enjoyed my convos with the Chiefs this week. To a man, they have taken responsibility for not playing well enough in the Super Bowl. No excuses, no egos. Went back to work, looking to uncover everything possible to make themselves and the team better. Got to live with the results, but you don't have to let them define you moving forward. Sure didn't feel like a team with a Super Bowl hangover coming. So let that get your plums.
And I think right there, like if you were worried, like the gentleman on the text line is, stop. Do yourself a favor. Don't worry, man. This is going to be fun. Don't let your worries get in the way of enjoying what's going to happen this season, because I think it is going to be real and spectacular.
No doubt about it. Still to come on the show, we've got Cody joining us for our first roundtable of the year. We'll have our Richard of the Week. And coming up next, you ain't going to want to miss it. Sean Smith, the man, the myth, the legend. He'll join us live here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Nick Bolton, and you're listening to Fresco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.